Let me thank you again for everything, for having Mindy and myself here, especially for all the work that you've done to bring this conference, this meeting about, all of the service, and you ladies especially for the food and all what we've already eaten. Thank you very much for it. It's just delicious, just wonderful. I anticipate another meal just like that this afternoon. I'm quite certain of it. Kentucky, I know how Kentucky women can cook. My mother was the world's greatest, and now my wife is next to her. But especially thank you, Brother David, you and Teresa, for all you've done for us. And I love you, thankful for you, your friendship, and Brother Gene read from 2 Samuel 9. Brother Gene, I hope this won't be a disappointment to you, but I'm not going to preach from that. I'm going to mention it at the end of this message. But turn with me to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. That story he read to us, Mephibosheth, one who obtained mercy and grace for Jonathan's sake. And Mephibosheth was so overcome. He called himself a dead dog. Remember? A dead dog. The Lord's mercy and grace and kindness to a dead dog. Well, I want to tell you another story about a dog who received mercy from the Lord. A woman. And the title is The Master and His Dog. This is a familiar story. Another gospel story. The gospel means good news. The good news of how Christ came into this world to save sinners. The great master, Lord and master of the universe, came into this wretched place. He calls this present evil world. That's what he called it. To save sinners. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked sinners that didn't want him to come. Didn't ask for him to come. And when he came here, asked him to leave. Behold, what manner of done. And he did it one way, by the sacrifice of himself on Calvary's tree, the precious, the shed blood of a lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he came, who he came for. Dead dog sinners. Brother Maurice used to always say that, didn't he? Dead dog sinners. Lord was in Galilee. He spent a great deal of time there. And he left there, verse 21, it says, he went and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. He walked 30 or more miles one way to get to this area, this place, Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon was a place notoriously evil. The Lord said that. He said, woe unto you, Tyre and Sidon. He said, woe unto you, Capernaum, for if the works that had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, that decadent place, they would have repented. Remember that? Or Sodom. He likened it to Sodom. So this was a decadent place. It was a heathen place. It's far away from Jerusalem. Very far. It was the uttermost, northernmost part of the country. It was not really a part of Israel at all. And our Lord walked 30 or more miles one way. 60 to 70 miles round trip. Why? To save one person. Doesn't the scripture say he's able to save? He's willing to save to the uttermost. The farthest most. Now, in Mark's gospel, it says in verse 22, look at this. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, called on the Lord, cried on the Lord. Mark's gospel said a certain woman. Scripture says that often, a certain man, a certain woman. This woman was one of our Lord's elect, one of his chosen people, one of his lost sheep, and this was a prearranged meeting, a predestined meeting before the world began. He came into this world to save sinners, And every move he made and everything he did was in the direction of saving his people, finding his lost sheep. And he found them where they were, where he put them. Zacchaeus was up a tree. The woman was at a well, you know, and on it went. Well, this woman was afar off. This was a prearranged meeting, one of his elect. She's a Gentile. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. She was afar off. He came a long way to save her. I'll tell you how far he came, really. It wasn't just 30 miles. It was all the way from glory.
Amen.
All the way from heaven he came down to this earth to save such a one as this. A dead dog sinner. And that's not how far he went. He went further than that. He went down into the depths of hell itself on Calvary's tree. Oh, how far did he come? What great lengths our Lord went to save his people. John saying, when he reached down for me, how far down did he reach for you? This woman was a Gentile woman. Far off. She was in a place where there was no tabernacle. There was no people of God. There was no synagogue. There was no truth. And yet our Lord came to bring her out. Save her. Reveal himself to you. Now, if someone is one of God's elect, one of God's children, they must hear his voice. They're going to hear his voice. They're going to hear the truth. And they're going to call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they hear? Without a preacher. He said they be sent. Alright? There's not one of God's people that's saved without hearing the gospel, without hearing the truth, without hearing Christ's voice. Not one. They're elect, yes, but they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the truth. They're going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to call on him. They're going to worship him, and they're going to hear his voice, and they're going to confess what they are and confess him. They're going to seek the Lord. They're going to call on the Lord. They're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to fall on their face at his feet and ask for mercy. And they're going to confess what they are, and they're going to confess him in believer's baptism. Every one of them. You must. Our Lord said so. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will. Baptism is not confessing ourselves, it's confessing him. And our Lord said, if you don't, you're denying me. We're not confessing ourselves, we're confessing him. And those that are lost must hear the truth. They must hear the gospel, and there's only one to be saved. Now, Mark's gospel, chapter 3. Turn back to Matthew chapter 4. Mark's gospel says, from Jerusalem, beyond Jordan, Tyre and Sidon, great multitudes heard, and they came unto him. And Matthew's gospel, look at chapter 4, verse 24. It says, his fame. That is, he was heard of everywhere. Verse 23, went about all Galilee teaching and preaching. Our Lord came to preach the gospel of the kingdom, didn't he? And heal all manner of sickness. The gospel is the healing power of God, the saving power of the God. There is no other power of God. This is what God uses to save sinners. You must hear the gospel. Our Lord was a preacher of the gospel, wasn't he? And that's what heals sick sinners and saves demon-possessed. Brings them takes captivity captive. Verse 24, Matthew 4, says, his fame went throughout all Syria, and those that heard about him, they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those possessed with devils and lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Those that heard of Christ, heard that Christ was the Savior. Those who had somebody that needed saving, that was possessed with a devil, they brought them to hear Christ. They knew there's only one way that one possessed with a devil was going to be dispossessed. Christ!
Yeah.
This woman's daughter was possessed with a devil. How does she know? Because she once was.
And she knew where that daughter of hers was because she had been there. And she knew, she heard of Christ, and she knew there's one way my daughter is going to be saved. It is crucifixed to her. And everyone has heard the truth, and everybody who themselves knows who Christ is and heard his voice, and they know there's one way that their child or their lost spouse or their parents or their neighbors or whoever it is that don't know him, one way they're going to be saved is to hear his voice. And they're going to bring him. Right? We just not coming to church here. We're coming to where Christ has promised to be, where the gospel is preached, where there's able to save to the uttermost. There's no other way. No other way. This is a message of life or death. And this is the place where Christ has promised to be. And if you want to have somebody that needs saving, they're going to have to hear this gospel. And Mark's gospel, it says that she was he was in a house, a certain house. He came to a house, and it said he would have no man know it. He didn't tell anybody where he was going, but he said it couldn't be hid. It was noised abroad. He's in that house right down there. Not that one, not that one. He's right down there. That's where he is. Is he just in one place? Most of the time, yeah. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many go there. God's not in every place. He's in a few places here and there. God's houses where his gospel preached, Brother Gene, are few and far between, aren't they? It's always been that way. They probably said, you know they said of Noah, Noah, you think you're right and everybody's wrong? You and eight people, you and seven other people only want, you got the truth nobody else does? You know what Noah said? That's right. That's one gospel. You know it's so. Turn on your TV, turn on your radio. You're not hearing this gospel anywhere else. God has been pleased. God is sovereignly in mercy and grace and love and kindness brought the gospel that we're so unworthy of to this little place right here, this ship, this little ark, this little refuge, this little oasis in the wilderness, right here, this little brown building like that tabernacle in the wilderness. How blessed you are. And if your loved ones are going to be saved, they're going to come here and hear it from that man right there. That's a fact. That's a fact. He was in one place. If this woman was going to hear him, she's going to go to that house. And she did. She heard about it. Says he couldn't be hid. A city set on a hill can't be hid. Christ is a light. And his sheep are going to hear his voice. They're going to come. The Spirit of God is going to lead them where he is. And they're going to come crying and calling and begging for mercy. And they're going to get it. Every one of them. That's too narrow. Well, I didn't say the gospel was narrow. Jesus Christ did. He did. Well, she had a daughter vexed with debt of the devil. Verse 20 in our text, it says, she came out of the same coast and cried unto him. You don't have to come out of the camp to meet him. And she cried unto him, one thing, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Her daughter was vexed with the devil. Her daughter was captive to the god of this world. Her daughter was in the grip of the god of this world. The god of this world who holds captive people right now at his will. Her daughter was altogether taken up with this world. This is what the god of this world uses. This is what the god of this world tempts with. This is what the god of this world holds people in captivity to. The things of this world. Don't think of demon possession or captivity to Satan as being dressed in black and your body mutilated and on drugs. That is demon possession. But that's not all it is. You can be an upstanding person sitting in a church pew be successful, be educated, and have a nice house and cars and everything, and be possessed by the God of this world. Be totally possessed with this world is to be possessed by Him. Isn't that right? And all our sons and daughters, until the Lord comes and leads captivity captive, every single one of them are possessed by Him. That's why they need to be here to hear the truth that's able to make them wise unto salvation. I thought my parents were being unreasonably cruel to make me come and hear the gospel all the time. It's the best thing they could have ever done for me. That's good parenting. Not providing the best education. Not buying them everything money can buy. That's the worst parenting. The best is to bring them where the gospel is and have them sitting under the sound of the gospel that's able to save their soul. And if he does that, everything's going to be fine. Whether he's a garbage man or waiting tables at the local diner, if they know the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing else matters. Amen. One thing is needful. One thing. God's going to destroy this whole mess. And only those in Christ in the ark are going to be saved from it. And this whole world, our children, our spouses, are held captive by the God of this world. There's one hope. It's this gospel. I came a long way to preach. Why am I going to preach? Why am I here? I'll preach a life or death matter message. Some in here don't know Him. Some young people don't know Him. Urgent message, is it, Brother David? Your heart's desire and prayer to God from Madisonville that they'd be saved. No, never one of these people.
Demon possession. She's vexed with the devil. It can take on different. My brother-in-law, me and his brothers, he's possessed, isn't he? He's been in and out of prison many times. Drugs, you name it. He was my best friend. We were best friends. We were buddies. But God spoke to me. Didn't speak to him. All right. Her brother is just been in and out of prison and on drugs and all. My brother's a college professor. Successful in this world. Brilliant. One of the most talented pianists you'll ever hear. Got it all. He's just as lost. There ain't no degrees of lost. You either in Christ or you're not. You can be in the pew and be lost as well as on the bar stool. Lost is lost. And there's only one hope for the lost. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman was living in a place where there was no truth. And now her daughter is possessed with the devil. Well, it's no wonder. Right? If you're not under the sound of the gospel, if your children are not under the sound of the gospel, don't think it's strange if they're possessed. Man, his wife had a marital problem. He contacted me. Serious marital problem. It's gotten violent now. I don't see any hope for it. But there's one hope. And I told him, you and your wife need to move where the gospel is. You both need to be under the sound of the gospel. Calling on the name of the Lord under the sound of the word. Maybe the Lord will save you and your marriage. You two can't get along. One of you is saved or one of you is lost or both. You got to be under the sound of the gospel. Is that good advice? Well, it's just facts, truth. Now, our Lord came to call this woman out. Out of darkness into life. Out of death into life. And so she came out. And now look at this, verse 22. She called on the name of the Lord. She said, have mercy on me, O Lord. What'd she call him? Lord. When the scripture says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, what's that mean? It means what it says. Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I see these signs everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I hear religion everywhere saying, praise Jesus.
They don't know the Lord. They wouldn't be calling him that. One time he said to his disciples, "You call me Master and Lord, you say well, that's so I am. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I tell you what you find out. Everybody finds out. Everybody the Lord reveals himself to. What they find out is he's your Lord long before you know he's your Savior. Long before that. You're going to worship him and bow to him and fear him as Lord and not thinking you're one of his elect, one of his saved people. That's a fact. This woman didn't know she's going to get mercy from him yet, but she called him Lord. Barnard used to say that. You can't have Jesus as your Savior if you don't bow to him as your Lord. You don't accept it. You know, nobody makes him Lord. God made him Lord. He's everybody's Lord, whether they know it or not. And here's salvation is to find out that he is. For him to reveal, this is the first thing he revealed to everyone he saved, is that he is your absolute sovereign Lord. And you're in his hands, and everybody and everything you own is in his hands to do with as he pleases. It ain't up to you. She came and cried and called him Lord. Well, what she asked for? What did she ask for? Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. This whole world is blaspheming God's name. Little children saying, "Oh my God." And if your children do that, you better correct them right now. That's taking God's name in vain. He will not hold them guiltless who takes his name in vain. If you say it, you better stop saying it. The whole world saying, "Oh my God." Well, buddy, when God reveals who he is to you, his son, who his son is, you know what you'll be saying? "Oh my God, have mercy on me." You'll be saying that from your heart, from the bottom of your heart. "You're my God and I need mercy at your hands. I'm a hell-deserving, rotten sinner, a dead dog sinner, and all I need from your hands is mercy. And what my child needs is mercy." The one thing needs mercy, mercy, mercy. Have mercy. Mercy means not getting what we deserve. Mercy means kindness that we don't deserve. Lord, please have mercy on me, on my child. You know, it'd be the greatest mercy the Lord can have on you is if the Lord saved your child. God, so merciful men tonight. Gave us a dear daughter. We weren't supposed to have that one. But he gave her to us. Named her Hannah, grace of God. Oh, we're so blessed for her. She was just a blessing from day one. 16 years old. Oh, it's a good for a young man, a young woman to bear the yoke in their youth. Oh my, the Lord would just put that yoke on them in their youth before this world gets a hold of them. And our Lord did in mercy and grace. 16. What a blessing. But they're never too old. My brother's not beyond reach. Not many wise men, not many. But this son. Mercy. Lord, spare me. Lord, spare my daughter. Many call for many things, and the Lord doesn't hear. But those who cry for mercy, the Lord will hear. They hear. He takes great pleasure in them that fear him and hope in his mercy. And she needed mercy. She needed mercy for her daughter. Well, look at verse 23. It says, he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. And he walked off. Because she went to his disciples then. He didn't answer. He acted like, it seemed like he ignored her. And just walked off.
How different is the Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ of Scripture than the one today? The one that's standing outside people's heart's door hoping they'll let him in? That ain't the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's the one you confessed in baptism, you confessed the wrong one. You need to confess the right one. How different is the Lord Jesus Christ than the one men are preaching today? This other Jesus who wants to and can't, tries and fails, who just so hopes so much you'll let him do it. This is the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign master of the universe. He might save me and he might not. It's his will. It's always completely up to his will. His discretion, his power. He doesn't have to answer anybody. He doesn't answer to anybody. Why should he? Why should he? Why should the Lord of glory answer one sinner? Why should he? We go all our lives. We live all our lives without giving God a thought. Had this woman ever called on the Lord before? Probably not. Had she ever given him thanks before? Probably not. Isn't that all men and women by nature? Huh? Go for years. Never give God thanks. Never call on the Lord. And to try to bring them to God's house where they worship the Lord, just give. That's why we're here. We're just here to give thanks, to sing a few songs to our sovereign benefactor. To our blessed Lord who's done all this for us. Been so gracious to us. Just, that's our reasonable service. In all flesh ought to give him praise and thank him. For everything. Young people. Why should we make them sing these songs? Because he's been good to them. Need to sing thanks to him and praise to him. That's why. But most people, it's like pulling teeth to get them to come just sit and worship God a little bit. Why should he answer anybody? They get in trouble. Then everybody gets in trouble. Oh, God help me. Why should he answer? Would you? If you had a dog, all its life, all it did was growl at you, bite you. Hand, the hand that fed it. How long would you put up with that devil? Well, this is why the scripture says the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Because that's the way every one of us are. Get in trouble, call on the Lord. Because he's so merciful. He's not like us. Long suffering, great in mercy. Great and mercy. He seemed to ignore. He didn't ignore. He's testing her. You seek me, he said, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Calling on the name of the Lord doesn't mean to utter a little prayer or say grace at the table. I don't know where that term ever came from. We don't say grace. We ask for it. Anyway, so she went to his disciples. Which is a good thing to do. The Lord has his disciples. The Lord has his men he called to preach the gospel. These were Christ's chosen disciples. They were the ones that had the truth. If you want to hear the truth, you're going to go where God has a man that preaches the truth. You're going to go hear from him. Yes, you are. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And all of them aren't sent. Most preachers are not sent. You got to send one. Our children and everybody's going to have to, you're going to have to hear from them. Well, you know what his preachers are going to do? They're going to run to the Lord. They're going to call on the Lord. Lord, we can't save them. Help, Lord, speak. Don't we, Brother David? Oh, Lord, please, I can't do this. I can't do anything. I can't convince anybody. I can't save myself. I can't help myself. Lord, would you speak? This is your word. This is your power. This is what you promised to you. Lord, you speak to her. That's what they did. They went to him. Lord, she's crying after us. We can't help her. But he answered and said, now he said this through them. Look at verse 24. He answered and said, through them, he sent them back to tell her this, verse 24. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's it. So they went back and told her, Lord said, he's only sent
to save his elect. That's what that means, though. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. That's what he's saying, isn't it? I'll save whom I will harden. I have an elect people. Go tell this woman, I have an elect people. And that's the only ones I'm come to save. Didn't come to try to save goats. I came to save sheep. And they're all lost, and they know it. And I'm going to save every one of them. Nobody, none less, no more. My elect, go tell her. He went back and told her. He said he's only here to save his elect. Well, surely she's going to get mad at that. If she's an average person, she would. Most people hate the sound of it. You know who hates election? The non-elect. You know who loves God's sovereign election? The elect. They all know. If he hadn't chosen me, Adam never gave him a thought. You're looking at the prodigal son here. Here I am preaching. Oh, man. my old cronies can't believe it. I can't either. My boy. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord. That could not be. This heart would still refuse thee had thou not chosen me. So they told her that. He's only come here for his elect people. Verse 25, what'd she do? Didn't run it off at all. This is how you know the elect, Brother Gene. It's how you know the sheep. You can't run them off. You can't make them mad. You can't offend a dog. She came, and what'd she do? Mark's gospel says she fell on her face. She fell on her face and did what? Worshipped him. Shelley, before she ever got an answer, before she ever got mercy, before the Lord healed her daughter, she worshiped him. You're my Lord. You're my only hope. You're my daughter's only hope. If you save me or save her, you're still Lord. You've still done much more for me now than I've deserved. I haven't received what I've deserved at your hand. Now I'm going to worship you. I'm not sure if it's Calvin or Bunyan. I forget who it was. They asked him one time, they said, you believe only the elect. Somebody hated the truth. Said, you believe only the elect will be saved, don't you? He said, that's right. That's what the Bible said. He said, what if you could read in the Lamb's Book of Life and your name was not there? Would you still worship him? He said, I sure would. Well, why? They said, why would you worship him if you're not one of the elect? He said, because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. Nobody deserves to be saved. Nobody deserves a chance to be saved. Thank God, salvation not by chance, by his choice, by sovereign mercy. Nobody deserves to be saved. Salvation by mercy, by grace. By his choice. If he chose you, oh my, you'll thank him for sovereign election. She came and worshiped him, and she said three words, Lord, help me. I have no help. I have no hope. But in you. If you don't help me, I have no hope. I have no hope. Then he said, he answered. He finally spoke to her. In verse 26, here's what he said. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. He's calling her a dog. She's a Gentile. That's what Jews called them, didn't they? Dog. He said, it's not fit. It's not fitting to give the children's bread to dogs. All right, first he ignores her. Seemed to. Well, he
No, he didn't ignore it. He's trying. But he seemed to ignore it. And then he said, only the elect will be saved. And he calls her a dog. Now what's she going to do? Surely she's insulted. Surely she's mad. Surely she's going to storm away in anger. And I'm not here. That's a hard saying. Call me a dog like that. Surely she's going to run away. No, she doesn't. You know what she said? One word. Truth. Lord. To him ignoring her, to her being unworthy of his notice, she says, truth. I don't deserve your notice. I'm not worthy of saving. To his absolute sovereignty, to his right to save whom he will, she said, truth! That's the truth. You're God. I'm a sinner. I'm not. Salvation is by sovereign mercy, by the electing grace of God. Truth! There is no truth apart from this. The truth is nothing less and nothing more than God's sovereign mercy and love and grace to his chosen people in Christ. The truth to her being nothing but a dog, she said, truth. That's what I am. So I'm a dog. Truth, Lord. All of God's people are saved by the truth. Is it necessary to preach the truth and believe the truth to be saved? Yes! There is no salvation apart from it. They all believe the truth. Tulip! Dad, Brother Gene, Dad, we had this preacher's class, you know, for 2 years. Okay? And he started out by saying, tulip or terminate? Total depravity, unconditional election, limited or particular redemption, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. That's the gospel. There's no other gospel. Anything more or less is not the gospel. Tulip or terminate. That's what he said. She said, truth. That's the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. That's what this book is from cover to cover. Salvation is of the Lord. And all here, all of his people, all of his elect, they hear this, they bow, they believe, they call, and they cry, truth, Lord, truth. Mercy and truth. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And all those things you didn't have anything to do with. It's all his sovereign will in Christ. And yet she says this, verse 27, truth, Lord, yes, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What she's saying is, Lord, I'm a dog, but I sure hope I'm your dog.
Yes, sir.
Can I be your dog? I'll be your dog. If you just throw me a few crumbs. Just let me be your dog and sit under your table and just throw me a few crumbs of mercy, a little bit of grace, a little bit of mercy. Just have a little bit of mercy. Now, the Lord can't have a little bit of mercy. His dogs eat well. Go back to 2 Samuel. I told you we were going to go there. Go back to 2 Samuel 9. I had a dog. You have dogs. I've seen what your dogs eat. I see how you treat your dog. And we had a dog, a little Shih Tzu. It was aptly named, properly named, Shih Tzu. And that little Shih Tzu, he slept in the bed with us for 15 years. Died in his mother's arms. He never ate a crumb in his life. I knew a man. Where did I say? Where is 2 Samuel? I knew a man. Blessed brother. Loved him dearly. He was a widower for many years. Never remarried. And down in Winston-Salem church there. And he had a dog. You know, when you're alone, you get a companion, you get a dog. And he had this dog. He loved that dog dearly. He took that dog every single morning to McDonald's.
And he got a Big Mac. He got his dog a Big Mac. Dog said, every day. I think at supper he got him a breakfast, an Egg McMuffin. And then at supper he got him a Big Mac. Crumbs? God's people eat fat things and wine on the lees. No, they're not going to be under the table. I'll sit at the table. Look, Mephibosheth said here, David said, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake. Will the Lord show us mercy? Will he? If you come to him by Christ, he surely will. He most surely will. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord be saved. God will accept every single dead dog sinner that comes to him by Christ, asking for mercy. Every one of them. And old Mephibosheth bowed himself in worship. And here's what he said. What is thy servant that thou should look on a dead dog? Well, Derek, he wasn't just a dog. He's a dead dog. Have you ever gone out, buddy, and picked up a dead dog off the highway? Took it home with you? Would you? Dead deer, maybe. A dog? Who needs such a thing? And he doesn't need such a thing. But all who think of themselves as such, who need him to pick them up, lest they die, he has mercy on them. And he brings them home. And he says three times, look at verse 9. King called and said, Mephibosheth, I've given everything of thy master's son, all that pertains to Ziba, Saul's servant. I've given everything to your master's son and all that pertained to Saul and his house. Christ restored everything we lost in Adam. And you know, this whole world exists to serve God's people. 35 people were, David said, 35 people want to serve one man. Ethiopian, Sheba. But God's wrath. And he said, Mephibosheth, verse 10, the last line, shall eat bread always at my table as one of the king's sons. He's my son. He's not going to be under the table. You know, I had a dog, and you heard about him. I love dogs. I don't love all dogs. Some dogs ain't worth loving. Most dogs. None of them are worth loving until they're trained. They're domesticated. But I love dogs. I don't love all of them. But there's one dog I chose after I told you about it. I loved him dearly. Loved him dearly. And you know how I talk to him? Like a dog. I talk to him like a dog. And he never once got offended. I tell you, you're just a dog. You don't belong in a house. Oh, I want a house, big house. No, no, you belong outside. He never got, well, I'll have you know, I'm an Australian Shepherd. I got a pedigree. He never said that one time. Never got offended. I know I'm a dog. I know it. I don't belong in a big house. Oh, if I just let me out, I'd just lie there at your feet. You know what I did? I let him in the big house. And I'd pat him on the head. He lived for that. And I was his life. He looked at me so thankful for choosing him, for buying him, for bringing him home, for feeding him and letting him in the big house. Are you a dog? You know, the Lord said that woman had great faith. He said, I've never seen such great faith, not always. What is great faith? You think of great faith as doing some great exploits, doing something great for the Lord? Here's great faith. It's knowing that you're a great sinner, that you greatly sinned against a great God, against great mercy and great grace, and you need a great salvation and a great sacrifice, and his only one is Jesus Christ. And if he has mercy on you, God will get great glory from you. That's great faith. Are you a dog? Oh my, may the Lord make it so. Okay. Thank you.